Nice to see you all. Happy, I am really happy to see you. And those I know very well, and some really important and world-known philosophers who are present, Mr. Gavlina, Mr. Alex Patakos, and all other friends from different countries. I am very, very, very glad to see persons from Kyrgyzstan to Uruguay, Germany, United States, Italy, Russia, Greece, so from India, Pakistan. So it's really huge presence and huge diversity, I would say. And as well, I know that some of you have opinions and positions totally different, opposite to the other. So that is the real diversity of the countries, of the peoples, of the cultures, with no dogmatism. So we represent the real democracy in the philosophy. So we are open. You are welcome to explain all the things you are going to say. There is no rules, there is no dogmas, so you could freely express yourself. I have forgotten as well the people from Poland and Georgia, so including the people with totally opposite geopolitical orientation. So everybody is welcome. Welcome to our philosophical conference that is dedicated to the topic, I think, absolutely universal, outside and beyond all political or ideological opinions. So we are approaching the moment where the human being, the human life, the human nature, the human essence as such is put under question. So now the situation is of such importance that we should lay aside everything that divides us on a superficial level and to concentrate on the most important and profound level of the ontology, of the anthropology, of the philosophy. So what we really need, it is new anthropological and ontological philosophical questioning, asking. So everything now is under question. There is no philosophical evidence, less than ever. So now we're living in the philosophy as totally open ocean. Nobody could pretend to have the answers. Sure, established, obvious, self-evident answers. We are, all of us, in all the schools of philosophy, in all the tendencies of philosophy, we are in the search more than ever. So less dogmatism we could imagine. And that is the moment, open moment, the most important moment for the philosophy precisely, because we have all kind of answers in all other fields of knowledge, of technology, on the politics. Everywhere we have too much answers, I would say, and we have too small amount of questioning or putting the question properly. So we need to learn how to ask. So I would like to begin our conference with citation of the classical Jean Baudrillard words. Jean Baudrillard once has said, Leibniz has put the meaning, the central question of the philosophy, what philosophy means, with the words or the formula made famous by Heidegger, why there is something rather than nothing. But we are living in the time, in this Durftiger Zeit, in this very poor time, as Baudrillard has emphasized, that we should correct Leibniz. We are living in the time where and when we should ask ourselves, where there is nothing rather than something. Why there is nothing rather than something. That should be something, but there is nothing. So that is, I think it is not only irony, that's not just a joke. There is a profound understanding of the amount of human nihilism, of the last stage, I would say. So we are approaching to the end when the thought can be impossible anymore. We are approaching the end with this technology, artificial intelligence, when there will be nobody to ask why there is nothing rather than something. So we are in last moment, maybe, of the history of the culture of our civilization, when we still can put this question, why there is nothing rather than something. Wozu nichts? What for this nihilism? Nothing overcomes us? Why we are in such a position? How we have got here? How we have reached this point? And I think that in order to explain, or better, in order to explore this problem, why there is nothing rather than something, we should to open our search in all the directions at the same time. We should not make any more dogmas. So we have no right. Now we have no right. So everything is unclear. So how we have got here, that is the real problem. So maybe we have arrived at this position by thousands of ways, but finally we are all here. And I think that all thinking beings in our planet recognize that we are in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of nothing. And we could differ how who is to blame. Modernity, communist, Russian, American, the West, I think West is more likely, or the East, or the immigration, or Islam, or materialism, or science, or Lebenswelt, or idiotism, or the common people, but with all plenty of the answers, the situation is as it is. So we are in a very critical position, and I invite you to share your opinion about that. So I have suggested to make this conference more to hear the other position, more to hear you than to say. I have recorded my lecture as introduction. You can find it on Paideuma TV. I will share a bit later the link to this lecture, but I would like to say to make small summary of this lecture. The other my friend of mine have made the same, and I thank them, Luca Siniskalka, and the other who have prepared their most extensive speeches, and we have published it as well, and we are ready to publish the other. If, for example, you could formulate now, or you have no desire or possibility to formulate today in full scale your opinion about something, because we are limited in order to hear as much people as we can. So I suggest send to us a video for a full length, 1 hour, half an hour, 2 hour, how you wish, and we will publish and we'll promote that. We will put in the discussion. We are going to continue that. That is the first, but I hope not last, conference dedicated to philosophy and very poor and poor age, the age of poverty. So my to summarize my opinion, I think that is the problem is with the human. So we are, with the modernity, we have lost understanding of the human nature. Making the shift from traditional, from the Middle Ages, from the ancient culture, from the Greek and Latin ancient culture, making this transition from Plato and Aristotle. And Plato and Aristotle, they were the main context makers of the classical Western Mediterranean, not only Western, Islamic as well, civilization. So they were the real great tradition. The one was transcendental, that was Platonism, and we see its influence on Christian or faith, on late Judaism or on Islam. So all monotheisms are very, very in depth to Platonism, because the Platonic vertical version was precisely the paradigm of future monotheistic tradition. And with the loss of the Plato, we have lost not only Platonic school or Neoplatonism, we have lost vertical understanding of transcendental dimension of the being. And that was immense loss. So we have cut our relation to the transcendent being. So after that, secularization and de-Christianization and the secularization and atheism came logically. Without Plato, no religion, no monotheistic at least religion. Second things we have lost, that was Aristotle. Aristotle was alternative, but as well sacred and classical vision, immanent, but sacred, immanent without this vertical, but with the sacredness. So when we have abandoned Aristotle, we have, after Plato, when he came to nominalistic approach in the scandal of the universals in the Middle Ages, that was the decisive point of no return. That was the cutting of the roots with two greatest and major vision of the understanding of the humanity, of the ontology, of the religion, of everything, of the ethics, of the politics, of the aesthetics. Everything was destroyed. In this, there was no more science. With the end of Aristotle, we have destroyed the last roots of the science. After that, pure hallucination. Materialism as hallucination and atomism, and return to the Democritus, to the thing that were considered to be heretic from this two main tradition of the thought, or Platonist and Aristotle. So when we have abandoned both of them, Plato and Aristotle, we have cut our ties, our connections with the understanding of what is the world, what is the human, what is the time, what is the meaning, what is the science. So after that, we are in darkness. But this darkness of modern age, of modernity, was presented to us as enlightenment. Precisely, arrival of the dark, on the dark ages, was presented to us as illumination, as clarification, as transparency, and more we got into the night, more lost we become inside of this darkness, the more they praised the light, enlightenment, the progress, the development. And that was a lie. So modernity, it was and is a lie, because without relations to the transcendence, or without the relations to the central part of ontology on the horizontal, immanent on this vision, as in the case of Aristotle, because that was the other vision, phenomenological, very close to phenomenological attitude, but that losing both of this of this paradigms of Platonic and Aristotelian paradigms, we have lost any relations to the really, really meaningful ontological basis of the human reality and the reality of the world. So we have stepped into the void, and now we are discovering that we are in the free fall. So we were falling. Now, that is how that nothing has arrived. That is why there is nothing, rather something. That we have made a kind of jump into the abyss. And we have accomplished that. We could follow how, traced until the last, latest, the smallest details how it was done. When we came to the modernity, we have committed one by one many intellectual crimes, one by one, destroying the real basis, not only religion, but paradigms, Platonic and Aristotelian paradigms that made the religion and theology and the sacred society possible. So we have destroyed the basis of the sacredness. That is much more than theology. We have lost what Genon has called the metaphysical level of the life of this society and of the religion as well. So religion was as well the victim. So of this process. And now modern religions is less and less religious. And we see that how it is becoming anti-religious, religion itself. So that is very, but all that started with modernity. And now we are coming to the end of the modernity. Modernity is ending. That is not ended end. It is ending end. It is not yet happened fully, but it is happening now, precisely. We are living inside of the end. And in order, there is no more subject. We are losing humanity. We are losing the content that made us human. That was all kind of collective identity, metaphysical identity with transcendental self, as in Plotinus, for example, or Indian Vedantic vision, where there is the big self and the small self, and their relation was the base of the humanness. We have lost that. After that, we have lost the relation of the man to the church, of the to the collective body of the church, conserved in Middle Ages, in Catholicism, and is conserved now in Orthodox tradition. But that was lost generally with the arrival of the Protestantism and after secularism. We have lost relations to other form of collective identity, to the estates, to the profession, to the empire. And little by little, we have created artificial collective identity with national state, with class, social class, with race, for example, the other form of purely artificial creation, modern creation. But that wasn't all. We started to destroy as well, after destroying organic collective identities, sacred collective identities. We started to destroy artificial collective identities. So now we are liberating from the nation, from class, and we have arrived to the last point. There are two kinds of collective identities. Sex, the women and the men are collective identities. And now we are in the center of gender politics. There is no more sex as destiny. As well, that was the same argument. Nation is not destiny, geography is not destiny, class is not destiny, the church is not destiny, your place of birth, your estate is who you are. You can be in the Middle Ages or oratores, priests, or bellatores, or warrior, or laboratores, peasant, and nobody else. So that was as well collective and the identity. And now we are destroying gender identity. We've made everything optional because everything has lost its ontological and sacred meaning with triumph and victory of nominalism. So nominalism was precisely that instrument, how we have got to this moment. And nominalism had destroyed all kind of collective identity. Now we are destroying sexual identity, making it optional. And now it is already ideological and political weapon. And now, our conference is precisely situated in the moment when the last step should be made. We should put under question human identity, because it is as well, it was species. To be human, it is eidos. We need to recognize ontological dimension of being human, because it is collective identity. It is the last trace of Aristotelian attitude. So in order to be done with Aristotle, to end with him, we need liberate ourselves from the human identity. And that will arrive. So that is the plan for tomorrow. For today is finalize sex optional, and for tomorrow that will be human optional. So robots pride and no more human. So human will be identified with something as conservative, Trumpism, fascism, maybe religion, something that is will be considered criminal and ridiculous to insist on the humanness, because that is the logic of this nominalism, and that is how we have arrived to on the bridge, on the edge of the post-human time. That is really, really time of nothingness. That is really poor time, because there will be no more human. So we are losing subject. We are losing human with its content, human being, because there is no more. In this nominalist logic, there could not be something like humanity, only individuals. And they could be human, but can be not human. It's not necessary. So that is the last step in the same direction that started with modernity. That is how nothingness has arrived. That was not, it is not something casual that is happening today. That was somehow planned. That is destiny. When we have chosen some path, when we have made, as Heidegger has said, decision, Entscheidung, we have chosen precisely that this moment sooner or later arrives. And it arrives now. It is not for tomorrow, now. The last decision or the last consequences from this important decision to be or not to be, or exist authentically or not exist authentically, formulating Shakespearean question in Heideggerian terms, to exist authentically or to exist inauthentically, uneigene Dasein. That is precisely the last decision we're making today, or that is finalization of the last step, logical step of the West European modernity. And we are here, and that is why we need to ask, what next? So we are already here. That is, we are face to face with the abyss. Not we don't imagine how it could arrive tomorrow or the day after tomorrow. Now it is face to face, vis-a-vis. We are here. Abyss looks in our eyes. So that is the precise moment when this encounter is happening. And in order, in my opinion, we could not, I'm coming to the end. In my opinion, we could not say, oh, please stop to go in this direction, or let's make one step back or two steps back. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. The a kind of inertia or the logical weight of the decision already taken is so huge, we could not hope to pull back, so to stay or to freeze in the moment. It's impossible. Conservatism will not work. Kind of appeal to one step better or delay this moment is absolutely ridiculous and useless. In order to react, and being put in front of the abyss, we need to revise immediately everything that was done. So we need to make a kind of revival of all philosophical heritage, to make in the metaphysical deconstruction of the philosophy of the Western thought, of the human thought, in order to understand how we have got here. So in order to deal with this problem, we need all the heritage of all the metaphysical thought. We could not, it is not a technical problem. It is not about to what conservative or nothing. If we don't what conservative, progressist somehow will still result of the election, what is going on now under our eyes. But I don't want to speak about that. That's just a remark. So it is not about to what. It is not, about how to delay arrival of this moment. It is not the fight for the end of the history. It is the fight for the meaning of the end of the history. The end of the history is here. It's just here. It's one step ahead. So it is already here. But and somehow the history is closed already. But the meaning of the history is not closed yet. So our fight will be whether metaphysical or there will be no fight at all. Because only on the metaphysical level, we are dealing with the material results of some metaphysical position. And we could not oppose to it nothing without getting in the depth of the metaphysics. So it is not just technical problem of civilization, the one, some unlucky turn. It is something much deeper. It's the fate, it's the real destiny. But the meaning of that destiny is not yet clear. And I think that we should, in order to save the subject, in order to save the human being, the subject itself or human being itself is not enough. We need to find and restore the power of that instance that made and still makes somehow the subject to be the subject and the human being to be human. And that is not human. In the core, in the heart, in the source of the human in something more than human. In the basis, in the ground of the subjectness of the our human will and rationality is something more than human, more than rational, more than will, just will, something much more deeper. And this instance that was totally closed, totally hidden during almost all phases of human history, because it was not I mediate. It was mediated. It was mediated by some intermediary aspect. And little by little, we're losing the not radical subjectiveness, but just not the authentical being of human. We were human, we were subjects. Now we are becoming subhuman and we are losing relations to the subject. Because much earlier, we have lost the previous unremarked relation between the radical subjectness and the normal positive subjectness, between our superhuman dimension of our being, not the human nature, but the nature that made us human. That is much deeper, and that was totally forgotten. And after that, we have forgotten this innermost part of ourselves. Little by little, we have forgotten everything else. And now we have arrived to the summary of all these acts of forgetfulness. And that is the moment to remember, to recall, to return not one step or two steps back, but to return to our origins and rediscover and restore this innermost, intimate core of what makes us still makes us human and what made us human. And that is precisely what I call radical subject. We have forgotten a radical subject long ago. It was mediated, but non-radical subject. We have forgotten this pre-human nature of ourselves. Still being satisfied with being human, and now becoming finally losing subjectiveness and humanness, we should not restore humanness and subjective, but get deeper. And that is why, in my opinion, nothingness. The nothingness. Why there is nothing rather than something? Because something was built on the forgetfulness of the real pre-ontological source. We have forgotten something most important much earlier than we imagined. So, and now we are paying our debts with this nothingness, and it is our fault. It is not because of some conspiracy or the evil guys. No, the fault is ours. That is absolutely, as Nietzsche has said, God is thought, God is that. We have killed him, not the other, not them, not we. We have killed them, we have lost that. And it's up to us to find it back. So, thank you for your patience.